Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us at 7:30. We'll get into his team clinching the playoffs with him. Looking forward to that coming up later this hour. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit as well. So all that coming up. Speaking of the Preds, so six spots are spoken for in the Western Conference. Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Nashville have all clinched. L.A. and Vegas kind of right there on the verge of it. St. Louis is 3 points back of Vegas, and Vegas has one game in hand. So looking like it's going to be those eight teams, with L.A. and Vegas still are the two left to clinch. St. Louis is going to be the one that gets left out here. Some interesting games last night. So Vancouver loses to the Arizona Coyotes in overtime, so they do collect a point. But Edmonton, without Connor McDavid, beats Vegas 5-1. So that brings Edmonton in the standings 4 points back of Vancouver with two games in hand. And by the way, they play each other on Saturday at Edmonton. I would assume, based on the reporting around it, McDavid will probably be back for that one. So we'll see what happens on that front. But that's a huge game coming up on Saturday. Vegas loses, which means Vegas is 3 points behind the Predators with only one game in hand. So that means the Predators control their own destiny in terms of wild card one, wild card two. If the Predators win out, they will be wild card one. Vegas cannot catch them, being 3 points back with only one game in hand. So some big developments last night on the playoff race. It became more likely last night, Joe, that the Predators are going to take on the winner of the Pacific Division based on the way things played out. That could be Vancouver. They're still the favorite. They're 4 points up on Edmonton. That could be the Edmonton, and the game Saturday probably going to go a long way towards determining who that is when Vancouver and Edmonton play each other. So we've been talking a lot about Dallas. We've been talking a lot about Vancouver, and Edmonton's starting to creep their way into the conversation now as well.
Edmonton is in the chat. Yeah, and so let's just take Vancouver out of it. If you had to choose between the Dallas Stars, Edmonton Oilers, and you're the Nashville Predators, who are you picking?
Man, that's really tough. I think a lot of Predators fans would immediately say Dallas because they look at Edmonton and how much Leon Draisaitl and McDavid have kicked their butt over the years and say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want any part of that. The one thing that gives me pause on that is kind of what we talked about with Sean Rourke the other day. I don't trust their goaltending. Stuart Skinner's been good this year, but can he do it in the playoffs? I think there's going to be more pressure on Edmonton than any other team in the playoffs, and that includes Toronto. Like, at some point with McDavid and Draisaitl, it's put up or shut up. Like, you got to do it. Like, you got to find a way to get yourself to a final and go win a cup. So I think this is kind of their year that they've been circling for that to happen. I think there's a ton of pressure on them. Also think that those two guys are going to play out of their mind. So I would probably lean Dallas in terms of my preferred opponent, but it's close.
Okay. So if you are Andrew Brunette, let's say you're Andrew Brunette and you disagree with you.
Yep.
Again, we can ask him at 7:30.
Sure.
Rank your preferences.
One through five.
But if you disagree with that and you're watching Dallas and you're like, man, now everything's in place. That's a wagon.
Yeah.
Do you do anything different? Are you more aggressive, more we have to win these games with your lineup because you want to stay in wild card one?
I think so. Like, if you think that there's legitimately, like, if you're looking at Dallas right now and saying, you know what, we just feel like that's the worst matchup for our team, then I think you are. Like, I think the wild card one becomes important at that stretch. And, you know, Barry Trotz was asked by Jared about, like, the travel aspect of it. And his response basically was like, I mean, it's not really that big of a deal. Like, we're used to the travel. So it didn't sound like Barry Trotz is overly concerned about the travel part of it. I think if you feel like it's that important to avoid Dallas, then you do. And look, I mean, the other part of that is, Joe, you have two games coming up Friday and Saturday against teams that you should beat. I mean, Chicago's bad. Columbus is bad. So, you win those two games, you're probably going to be in wild card one. So, and then you got the Pittsburgh game to close out the season. We'll see what happens, you know, there, what that game actually means for both teams. But if you feel like it's that important, then I think you do. And, I mean, it's a pretty easy sell to the team, too, right? Of like, we got to keep our game going. Got to keep building. I mean, Forsberg came on the station yesterday and talked about you got to keep your game building this time of year heading into the playoffs. So if you feel like it's that important, I think you do. I think you treat it that way if you're Andrew Burnett.
Yeah, well, that's it's really interesting. I'd love to know what he thinks, because I think it's got to be just like you said. Like, Dallas looks really good, but those two guys and how it's gone. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be. And that's at some point, I guess it's just like you worry about yourself and you worry about playing your best hockey and keeping everybody healthy. Whoever needs rest, fine. But for the most part, trying to play and play well and carry it into next week.
I think the real answer is probably they don't care who the matchup is. I mean, I'm sure everybody has like their preferences. The intriguing scenario there is like, what do you do if you view Vancouver as your best possible matchup and Edmonton is your worst possible matchup, because you have no idea which one of them right now is going to win the division?
Yeah, then you just go with the generic plan.
Yeah,
right. Like, you try to play well. You want to win, and if there's anybody who is, as you talked about yesterday, if there's anybody who has some nagging stuff that we don't know about, but it's like, man, a couple days on top of, you know, obviously next week after Pittsburgh, there's going to be a stretch of time off too before the game one of the series. You could take advantage of that.
You could, and you know, the other part of this too is looking at those matchups. You've got, I think they're different in terms of the strengths that each team brings to the table. Dallas, I think Dallas's main strength is they can come at you in waves. Like, they've got a lot of depth, particularly at forward, where they can just wear on you. And I think that makes them really difficult. Edmonton does not have as much depth, but they've got Draisaitl, McDavid, and those two guys are darn near impossible to contain. So there's that part of it. And Vancouver's got a lot of speed. And they've got a lot of young skill. They're not experienced. I don't think they have – I mean, they don't have phenomenal depth. They're not as deep as Dallas, in my opinion. But if Demko ends up coming back, they also, I think, have really good goaltending.
Yeah.
So they're different.
And he is, right?
I think he's going to be back. But we'll – I mean, he's still out there.
Trying to keep it mysterious. But it'd be pretty surprising if he wasn't back.
Exactly. So they're all really – different in terms of the challenges that they present. So, I mean, if you're Andrew Burnett, I mean, I don't think you can spend a ton of time worrying about it this week. It's just like, well, we're going to play the games and the matchup's going to be what it is, and then you go play them. Like, none of those, I don't think any of the matchups, if you're the Predators, you're going to sit there and be like, yes, awesome, right, we got Vancouver.
Or Turtle, and
right,
you know, let's not even show up.
Exactly. So, and that's part of having the group that they have. I said it yesterday. I mean, they're not going to be afraid of anybody. That doesn't mean they're going to win, but they're not going to be. I mean, they're not going to be afraid of Connor McDavid. They're not going to be afraid of Dallas if that's the matchup. I mean, I kind of agree a little bit with what Jared has said about that. Is like, if it's Dallas, I think there's a little bit of, all right, well, I remember what happened the last time we saw these guys. A little bit of payback in mind there too.
And you know what else he said? Dallas is going to be looking ahead at the entire series to the next series.
Maybe so.
That was his. That is his case.
Okay.
Well, what do you think about that?
I can tell you one person on Dallas who is not going to be looking ahead if that's the matchup it's going to be. Matt Duchene will not be looking ahead.
He will be strumming his way.
I think if you start looking ahead in the playoffs, you're going to find yourself watching the playoffs.
Yeah, looking ahead to the couch.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Predators. Who do you want to see in the first round as their playoff matchup, as the picture's starting to become a little bit more into focus? We'll have Andrew Burnett coming up at 7:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds on the road. Pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 6:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks. Family leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Andrew Burnett, Predators head coach, will join us coming up at 7:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Preds have clinched a playoff spot. Their opponent in the first round has yet to be determined. Three games left in the regular season. Coming up Friday night on the road in Chicago, the home finale for the regular season, Saturday against Columbus, and then next Monday against Pittsburgh, and then the playoffs right after that. So we are right around the corner for playoff hockey here in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's been interesting to see the reaction from the fan base the last couple of days since they punched their ticket on Tuesday night against Winnipeg. I do feel like there's a kind of a renewed spirit with this fan base right now, and I think a lot of it has to do with, number one, obviously the way they've played down the stretch here, and number two, like, I think the changing of the guard from Trotz and Brunette and those two being in charge, I think has really given the fan base a shot in the arm. One thing that I've heard a lot from fans this year, and that I think when you really pay attention to it, is pretty evident. Like the way they play is very entertaining. And, you know, they've had some entertaining years. Like even when John Hines was here, right? Like that year where they went on the run in 21 and the first part of the next season of 22, they were playing really well. And look, they weren't, you know, some juggernaut offensive team, but they were playing really well and it was fun to watch. And they kind of had that old school Predator mentality of crashing and banging and working really hard and finding results that way, and the identity that John Hines always talked about. This is a little bit different. Like, it's a combination of that, and there's also, I mean, quietly, they're having, like, one of their best offensive years ever under Andrew Brunette here. And you look at the top line, the numbers that those guys have put up, they're just a really fun team to watch stylistically. And I think we probably haven't talked about that enough in terms of the buy-in from the fan base of what that has looked like. Beyond the results, beyond the winning that they've done in the second half of the year, like the way they play, I think is really fun to watch. And I think you're seeing the fan base respond to that, especially in the second half of the year, as they've kind of embraced the system and understood it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's more fun to watch, for sure. You know, I mean, if you don't win, then that has limitations.
For sure.
So I didn't hear a ton of people talking about how fun it was to watch when they had down stretches during the year. But also, you know, I was listening last night to the last Smashville Live, which was really good with Ryan McDonough and Luke Shen. Very, very.
Those two are great.
Really good conversations. But just hearing them talk about, like, the system and how it was kind of foreign to them early and not super easy, and it took some adjusting. I mean, that's the thing. Once it actually works like it's supposed to look, it also is more fun to watch, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Because then, you know, then you can kind of see it makes sense as you're watching it too. So I definitely think that they are more fun to watch, more entertaining, and there's that. So you have that. You have just the fact that it is, you know, a new era. And even though they don't have the real young guys that maybe we thought would be out there more this year, there's still new guys who are exciting to watch. I mean, Nyquist and O'Reilly are a blast to watch. Even like, you know, like a kid like Stastny right now is, I think, fun to watch out there skating around and things like that. So there's also, even if they're not, they're veterans, they're older, but they're new. And, I mean, you know, O'Reilly's been, I mean, he's just an all-around great player.
He's a great player, and it is, when you look at their top line, you know, Forsberg's right on the doorstep of 90 points. O'Reilly has 26 goals, 66 points in 79 games. You know, given the age, not necessarily, but more specifically the wear and tear on his body and how long he's been in the league, like 66 points for him is really good. Like, if you'd have told me that heading into the year, I would not have believed you that he would have put up that number. We've talked about Nyquist and how that's come out of nowhere. I mean, that line, by the numbers, has been the best line they've ever had. And I think, like, people sometimes, I mean, you think back to, you know, Korea and the line he was on a lot of times with Erad and Legwine, but he played with Sullivan. I mean, Korea, especially when Peter Forsberg was here, they had a lot of really good combinations. Obviously, Jofa, which you love, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, they had a lot of really good moments together. But by the numbers, I mean, this is clearly the best line in franchise history. Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. They've been together, I think, 71 consecutive games now, 70, somewhere in that neighborhood. So they've had a lot of time together, and the production is what it is. Like, the Predators have never had a line like this heading into the playoffs, which makes things, number one, really interesting from an offensive standpoint. Like, how are they going to match up with some of these other top lines? Can you kind of go blow with them in the playoffs? But number two, like, one of the things that has made O'Reilly great throughout his career is defensively he's fantastic. Like, he's really good in the faceoff circle. He's really good as kind of, you know, playing that shutdown role against other top centermen. So you've got the offensive combination that's the best line the Predators have ever had. And number two, like, defensively, I think all those guys have been really good this year too. So how is that going to look come playoff time? You know, can they avoid being shut down, number one? And number two, can they do some shutting down of their own when they're out there against top teams?
Yeah. That's a bold statement. So you said clearly the best line.
Now by the numbers, they are.
Now that makes me want to compare, because obviously the peak of Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg, that would have been the President's Trophy year, right, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking this year is peak Forsberg. I mean, he's going to end up probably breaking the single-season goal-scoring record. You've got O'Reilly with 26 goals, 66 points, which is, I mean, probably right in line with the best that we ever saw from Johansson. And then Nyquist has got over 70 points. I mean, with Nyquist is like, I'd have to go pull up the list, but, you know, off the top of my head, Kariya had 85 points. Josi's had 96. Now Josi's at 80 again. Forsberg's broken 80 now a couple of times. And Duchesne broke 80. And after that, I think it's like J.P. Dumont and Gus Nyquist, like in the history of their team, that have gotten, you know, over the 70-point mark, looking towards the 80. So, I mean, by the numbers, in terms of just point production that they put up, it's their best line they've ever had.
So that year, Forsberg, 26 goals. He had 64 points. Arvidsson had 29 goals, you know, 61 points, and then Johansson had 54 points. He only had 15 goals, which is very good. I mean, you know, between the three of them. But, yeah, it doesn't. Now, of course, I guess you could look at that and think about how good they were that year. And, well, it was the next year that they absolutely did nothing against Dallas.
Correct.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, they performed in the playoffs. Certainly Forsberg did.
Forsberg, Johansson, both were great. In 18 in the playoffs.
18. Arvidsson is the guy who playoff hockey did not suit him.
Right.
I mean, he just
especially that Winnipeg series, like, he's just little out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, this line has to be great, has to do everything. And then also to me, it's like, okay, so when the other team is getting it done, who fills that void? I think it's No Evangelista.
Very well could be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for us to be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Preds have a practice day today and then back at it tomorrow in Chicago. We'll get Andrew Burnett's thoughts on clinching the playoffs coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. The Preds have punched their ticket to the playoffs. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Good. Doing good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Andrew, obviously it's been an up and down year, a long year, but you guys punched the ticket the other night against Winnipeg, and you're going to be in the playoffs. In year one for you, I guess when you take a step back and kind of look at that accomplishment to this point, what comes to mind and how proud are you of that accomplishment?
Well, I think I'm proud of the group. I think, you know, we went through a little adversity, obviously a change in system and style and some new players, and it took us a little while to, you know, I guess, grasp kind of what I was asking and kind of grow as a group and grow as where we are right now, which has been a really tight team that enjoy playing with each other. And we show a lot of resilience and grit. And I thought the other night was a perfect example of basically, you know, the work we put in here for the stretch. It wasn't always going to be pretty, but we found a way to get a point out of that game. And that's kind of been the, you know, our stretch of this, especially since, I guess, November. We're really, if you look at the season, I think we were 5-10 at that point. And the rest of the game, rest of the, basically three quarters plus, you know, our record is pretty good if you put it up against any team in the league. So we've played really well. We've earned the opportunity to play a playoff round and go from there.
Yeah, so if you go back to that point, Andrew, or I guess even I know a few weeks ago we were talking about like the first period of your first period as Predators head coach. Go back to that and think about now. I mean, is there any surprise or like could you have still have envisioned all these things kind of coming together the way they have?
Well, I'm sure you couldn't envision it. I think that I'd be lying to you. I think you just want to see growth. And in your group, I think that's your main job as a coach. When you start, you just want to see, can we get better? How can we improve? Where can we improve? And we improved. And we grew not only on the ice, but we grew off the ice. I think we stuck true to our values as a group, and we've gotten results. And like I said, this is a really, you know, I've been fortunate to be around a lot of teams and a lot of good teams and, you know, a lot of bad teams. And the one thing that when you're on a good team, you understand and you see is how close the team is. And I think our group is as close as any team I've been on, you know, and they've enjoyed each other, which for a coach, that's all you can really ask.
Andrew, you mentioned the system part of this, and we've talked to you so much about that this year. But just I'm curious from your perspective, you mentioned it maybe taking a while for guys to really grasp it. Was there a moment that kind of stood out to you where you knew, okay, they've got it. Like this is what we've been working towards and they've got it. Like, do you remember a point where that was the case for you this season?
No, I don't really remember a point, but I would think that stretch of hockey, when we kind of went on a little bit of a run there. And I think, you know, kind of where the word relentless showed up, you know, I think that's where I think we finally figure out why, you know, players were like, why is he asking me to do this? Why is it this hard? Or why, I think they're seeing, okay, that's why. And they kind of bought into it. So credit to them for seeing it and understanding it. It took a little while. I think we showed glimpses of getting it, but maybe not consistently. But I thought through that stretch of 20 or 19 games, not just because we're winning, but I think we're winning because of some of the things we were doing and understanding and bringing it every night. And understanding how much work it takes, but seeing the reward if you do work and the reward you get. And I think that's where it really sunk in for me.
So moving forward here, Andrew, how do you balance wanting to keep your game sharp, you know, wanting to keep playing guys together, chemistry and all that, knowing maybe some guys have little nagging things or whatever, and also even the playoff picture, you know you're in, but there are various opponents you could face. Do you take any of that into consideration, you know, potential opponents or anything when it comes to your lineups, just how you're going to approach these last three regular season games?
Yeah, I don't think you can control the opponent. And we're kind of in a, you know, a different position for, you know, this year where it's kind of bizarre. It doesn't usually fall this way, but we're kind of done Monday. And I think a lot of teams play through Thursday. So, you know, we have a good week before I think we're starting. So it is a little bit different from different years. So we're, as a staff, and as we're trying to figure out what's the best course of action. You know, I think guys want to play, and we're in a position that I want to keep our game sharp. There's some guys that maybe will come in and out a little bit, but at the end of the day, we just got to control what we do. And I think we're, you know, rest won't be an issue because, you know, I've played 3 and 4, maybe I'll be mindful of that, but then we don't play for a week. So it is a little different. Not sure how we're going to approach this. We're about to jump in a meeting here in about 10 minutes and make a decision here for the next, you know, three, you know, at least the next two games. I think Monday it'll play itself out, you know, depending if it means anything or not. So we'll just be mindful of everything. And our motto, you know, through that stretch is just go straight ahead. And I think that's kind of where my mindset is this morning.
Predators head coach Andrew Brunette with us here on the program. So Andrew, I mean, first off, how nice was it to see one go for Novak the other night against Winnipeg to have him finish on that goal? And those two specifically, Novak, Evangelista, I know you've kind of rotated that third forward with them. They've been generating a lot of chances lately, and Evangelista had, you know, 12 attempts the other night. How important are they going to be when the playoffs come around in terms of adding that secondary scoring and that pop offensively?
Yeah, they're going to be crucial. I thought they've generated a lot here. The stretch is nice to see Norby get a goal. I mean, he's kind of been a little bit snake bitten for about 8 games there. So it was nice to see him get rewarded because he has been generating. And, you preach, if you get chances sooner or later, you'll score. And start worrying if you're not getting chances. And he's got opportunities, and they created him and Vange have created a lot of offense for us. Just didn't go in for a few games. So it was nice to see him go on. I thought Evangelista's game was off the charts, probably his best game of the year, two nights ago. And, for us to go forward, we're going to need those guys. And we're going to need everybody. Everybody has a different – it's kind of been fun about the group. Everybody has a different role. And their role is a little bit on the offensive side. And they're kind of a little bit of a catalyst of our secondary scoring. So we need them going, just like we need everybody else going.
Do you look at those two, Novak and Evangelista, as guys who do have sort of built like a chemistry that you want to keep together and maybe even like long term, like two guys that just seem to go well together?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they got great chemistry together. I think they've kind of, obviously a little bit in Milwaukee, but they've just seemed to see the ice extremely well together. They know where each other are most times, and they're just offensively gifted players that enjoy playing with each other again. And it's just fun to see them grow as the season's gone on. Obviously, Novi missed a little time with an injury, and Ben had a little bit of, after 15 games, a little bit of the sophomore, you can't say slump, but trying to figure it out for a little while. So it took him a while to kind of get his game back on. I thought he got it going in the end of January, and he's kind of taken off. So, yeah, they're really important pieces for us, for sure.
Predators coach Andrew Burnett with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Andrew, I always, sometimes I have random things that I just think about when it comes to the world of hockey. I was thinking about this week. You guys are playing, for the most part, every other night you got a couple of days here, but it's playoff time of year. Sometimes you have to wake up and do, morning radio interviews with idiots like us. How much sleep do you get? Like, what's your average sleep look like per night?
Well, my watch isn't too happy with me. So
not a ton this time of year.
No, not a ton. And I think you get into the travel and the late nights getting in and early mornings getting up, and even there's days that I always say there's a dripping noise at 3 in the morning or something. If you do fall asleep early, those nights you do, you kind of wake up at 3 and you hear a dripping noise, and your brain's going, what's leaking right now in our game? So I think it even when you do fall asleep fast, which doesn't happen that often, that noise always seems to wake me up. So yeah, the watch isn't that happy. Try to take advantage of it, like a day like yesterday, and you get to go to bed early, and there's not as much stress last night, hopefully tonight, but getting in is really important. But as a coach, you're always thinking what's next and who's next and making sure our game's tight. So it was nice to get in, but a lot of work to do.
So what about caffeine intake then? Are you a coffee person? Yeah. Pop? I hope you say pop, because everyone down here needs to say pop.
Good Lord.
What's the if there is a caffeine source, what is it?
Coffee. It's coffee in the morning. I usually try to, I think a lot of it's, I don't know if I drink that much of it, but I always have a cup in my hand. So it's coffee. Pop at night sometimes, before the game, I'll have a pop.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. Well, Andrew,
it's been
the right word. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, we're looking forward to the playoffs coming up here in next week here, and the closing out of the regular season this weekend. But appreciate you taking time to join us all year long. It's been so much fun getting to do this with you on the morning show, and looking forward to seeing you out at practice and over the games this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I enjoyed it too. So we'll see you. Hopefully for another couple months.
Absolutely. Predators head coach Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Whoa. Hold on. I have to interrupt you. People spell it like clenching your butt cheeks, you're saying? Like, who does that?
That's what we're saying. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rexroad's Rant of the Day.
Wow, thanks for saving stuff I say and playing it back for me later. It's really a wonderful experience. By the way, someone on the text line earlier, Robbie, said something about music coming in. And what was the song they were talking about? You know what I'm saying?
I remember seeing the text. I don't remember what segment it was. So okay. I'll have to go back.
You don't remember the music? What was?
No.
Yeah. Did you play something really interesting that I missed today?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They were picturing Joe vibing.
I got some ideas, by the way, for some more intro songs. If you know.
I'm all ears.
Okay. All right. I'll believe me, man.
That and some movies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another topic altogether. But right now, I'm going to double down on what we just talked about. It's time to really. I'm emboldened by Andrew Brunette. Thank you, Andrew Brunette, for coming on.
Oh boy,
and for correctly calling it pop. It is pop. It's not soda. It's not Coke. Coke is Coke. All soda pop is not Coke. Pop is the right word. It's the best word. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to a column from Jerry West. In 2021 column in the Index Journal in Greenville, South Carolina, he had a very
different
nice
Jerry West.
Yeah, not that Jerry West.
Okay.
Jerry West, the Greenville, South Carolina newspaper columnist. He had a very nice history of these three words. So soda, that's more northeast and kind of, according to him, northeast Missouri, Illinois. What's wrong with you, Illinois? Are you kidding me? Steve Lehman, you don't say pop? I need answers on that. Parts of California. Soda is derived obviously from soda water, right? It's a fizzy soda. Okay. But that's not what this is. Okay, Coke, obviously that's the southern thing. It's definitely Georgia. Think about the origins of Coke. First of all, for people who don't know, that's obviously from Coca-Cola, which originally, of course, had cola leaves and a cola nut, so it had cocaine in it.
It did.
Well, why do we... Well, according to them, it was promoted at the time as a medicine that would cure, quote, all nervous infections. And actually, Southerners at the time called it dope. And the Coke delivery trucks were called dope wagons. This is what you want?
That's dope.
This is the heritage that you want? Yeah, that's dope stuff. Now, pop. Let me give you the origin of pop. A British poet in 1812.
You've already lost me.
He wrote, quote, a new manufacture of a nectar between soda water and ginger beer and called pop because pop goes the cork when it is drawn. That is a beautiful history of pop. Now, that is cool. Pop is, first of all, fewer syllables. Always go for that. Pop is one syllable. We all know what it means. And I think that here in Nashville, I mean, let's face it, the Yankees have absolutely just bombarded this place anyway. I think we need to go to pop. Who's with me?
Well, see, this as you're going through this, I'm kind of discovering that I don't really call it any of those three. Like, I just call it whatever I happen to be drinking. Like, give me a Sprite, give me a Dr. Pepper, give me a Diet Coke.
Okay,
that's what I do. So, like, I've not really been a soda person. I certainly have not been a pop person. And there are a lot of people that I know that have called everything Coke.
Give me a Coke.
So I get that.
Give me a Coke. What kind of Sprite?
Right.
Huh?
Exactly. But like to me, like I've always just kind of called it what it is. So I don't really know what to do with that.
I mean, that
pop, I refuse to do because anybody who does that has to be like almost in Canada. Like that's the rule to do it. How far north you have to be.
I mean, well, you know, I what's wrong with adopting lingo from different regions? I mean, I've been trying to say, instead of against.
Yeah.
And that's by far my favorite Canadianism. Against. Offense. Organization. Oh, yeah. Offense. Defense. Yeah, I'm probably with you, too. It's like basically, yeah, I'll have a whatever. I'll have a Dr. Pepper. I'll have a Diet Mountain Dew, which is my favorite pop. But still, if you're talking about the whole genre of beverages – it's pop.
You lost me on the British poet. I mean, my God, we fought a war over this in 1776, for God's sake.
Joe, we've I have to fire back a little bit.
Yeah, but they've been allies for a long time.
Joe, let me fire back just a little bit. I agree why you would call it pop, but not all sodas make a popping noise when you open it. So,
okay.
If you want to get technical, I don't think everything could be called pop. Now, I am like Robbie, and I call everything what I drink.
What so, it is.
Yeah, Sprite, Coca-Cola, Mountain Dew. And when I'm at Publix, it's a club soda because that's what they sell. That's their brand, fancy. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. That's what soda is to me.
Right.
Like,
or like a
soda
seltzer.
Water.
Or like a seltzer, right? So, but I think the onomatopoeia that that is involved with it makes sense. And over the course of time, it makes me feel better about calling it pop. Now, do I say pop? No, because I'm from the South. But
yeah.
Then again, I'll call it whatever it is that I'm drinking. Okay. So
Gunner, here's one. It says, Coke, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, all that is pop. Sprite, Mountain Dew, et cetera, is soda. So lemon lime stuff is soda?
Now we're getting a little too complicated with all this.
Yeah, you missed me with that one.
Michael and Madison says, I'm sorry. I thought this was America. It's Coke. It's from Michael and Madison on the text line.
I got to move your Yankee ass back to Michigan. I got that. Saying pop, Joy from Galda says, saying pop sounds like a dirty word. People ask, and I just told you the origin. I had no idea. I just grew up with pop.
Yeah.
I just grew up and we called it pop.
Somebody says we should just call it soft drinks. That's not fun.
No, not soft
drinks. Can you bring me a soft drink?
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. I said that's ridiculous. Keith says Coke is one syllable. Yeah, I know, but pop is a cooler one syllable word than Coke, okay? I don't know.
I mean, you've
I'm
unlocked
not getting a lot. I'm
the,
getting
the text are rolling in at an incredible pace on the text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. We got another vote for soft drink.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I've never heard anybody be like, hey, can you bring me a soft drink?
We don't need two words. Yeah, no. We don't need two words, and we don't need to call it a soft drink. That's more like we actually live in England in the 1800s. We don't want that.
So how would you break down what do you think the vernacular is around here? Do you think we're at like 15% pop? Has it grown to 20%
well,
pop?
Well, there's certainly, and even before Nashville, just tripled and quadrupled, I mean, they're pretty good. Even like the Saturn plant going back, right?
Detroit,
Midwesterners.
The Pred Wings.
That's right. The Midwesterners have been coming here for a while. So, I mean, I definitely, there are plenty of people around here who say pop. I just feel like we may as well adopt that one. I mean, I'm not saying you have to adopt everything from the Midwest or different regions. But, there's just, like, Coke is... Like, it just doesn't make sense unless you're actually having a Coke. I'm sorry. Yesterday, by the way, I got at the Amish feed mill in Nolensville, I got a glass bottle Coke.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
That's some good stuff there.
Absolutely.
Do you think that Andrew Burnett actually calls it pop, or do you think he was peer pressured by you to say it on
no.
the phone?
No. Oh,
now?
No, he calls it pop. Because, I mean, where he's from is actually, like, my aunt lives near there and stuff, so I mean like Ontario's basically Michigan. They call it pop. So good for you, Andrew Brunette. Let's stand strong.
Josh from Lebanon says, when I go to a restaurant, I always ask, do you have Pepsi or Coke? If they say Pepsi, I ask for a water. If they say Coke, then I tell them exactly what I want. So he's establishing.
That's fine.
All right. You got Coke products. Let's get in there.
And I'm exactly with you, Josh, by the way.
So you call it Coke too, no matter what.
No, but I mean, I'm exactly with them on if they have Pepsi products, then okay, I'll have anything else.
Eric in Bellevue, who drinks sodas? Just drink beer. It's from Eric in Bellevue on the text line. Even if it's 7:50 in the morning, just drink the beer, according to Eric.
Brandon says it's called cream soda, Joe, not cream pop. Well, sure. There's different things than what they're called, but soda to me is it's like soda water, right?
I have another question. Does anybody out there actually prefer Pepsi products to Coke products? That's something I'd love to know. I still think like one of the great days in the history of the Nashville Predators organization is when they switched from Pepsi to Coke.
Yeah, I'm super biased. I know I've said this on the show before, but when we lived in Saudi Arabia for 3 years, we had no access to Coke products. We only had Pepsi. So I really when we come back home in the summers, I'd be like, Coca-Cola. And then they changed a new Coke. And my God, we don't even want to get into that nightmare, American nightmare of new Coke. But no, I don't know. I don't understand. Now, I do, a little Diet Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do love that. That might actually be my favorite pop, is Diet Mountain Dew. So that's a Pepsi product. So it depends on what we're talking about. Yeah. Like regular Mountain Dew, like you can feel your teeth rotting out of your mouth with one glass.
A lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Diet Mountain Dew is a perfect combo of, you know, taking the sugar out of it, but it still tastes really sweet.
You got a texter that says, you guys are so silly. Pop slash soda, or whatever you want to call it, has tons of sugar, and diets have ton of artificial flavors, chemicals. All of it is terrible for you and dehydrates you. You lose weight if you drink water or mineral water with bubbles and be healthier.
I know, but
it's not that serious. I mean, you're just talking about the name of it.
I mean, you're not wrong, but sometimes I just like a pop, okay?
Yeah. Even Andrew Burnett, sometimes late at night.
Yeah.
Maybe that makes it harder for him to go to sleep.
Yeah. Good to know he's a coffee drinker, though, unlike you.
It is. It's good to know that. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Coming up next, we'll get into all things NFL with him. By the way, the Masters has not quite gotten underway yet. A little bit of rain delay down there in Augusta. Your 2024 Masters leaderboard brought to you by Burger Republic, defending quality in Nashville for 12 years. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.